Good morning. Today is Monday, July the 6th. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief, Mr. Steve Watson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Yes. I think just for clarity on this one, we have to declare that we're recording this before the 4th of July weekend because, well, we're both lazy. How's that? That kind of works for me. Are you ready to feel even more stupid?
That's not hard for me to achieve, so
okay.
Go ahead.
All right, so here we go. We're going to go backwards a little bit here. Dog days. Why are hot summer days called dog days?
I have a feeling that if I don't come up with something, you're going to tell me, right?
Yeah.
Hot, sultry summer weather type of situation.
Yeah. It comes from ancient Rome that believed the 6 to 8 hottest days of summer were caused by the dog star Sirius. Okay. Rising with the sun and adding its heat to the sun. They call these days dog days. Pretty simple.
If so that's that period between like July and early September-ish?
Yeah. So I guess that's another reason not to travel to Italy right now.
Yeah, as if you need any more reasons.
Yeah, no kidding. What does summertime look like for you guys now that we're beyond the 4th, from now through, I guess, school starting? What are your concerns? What are you seeing? How are you looking at it? Because normally we have tourism going on, and what may be there isn't going to be to the same extent that it has been historically this time of the year.
You know, it's been, frankly, challenging at times to look much beyond almost 1 week at a time with everything going on. You know, literally where we, as a nation and certainly as a community, we're in the middle of 3 epic level crises, you know, between, you know, people sometimes are starting to forget because it is warmer and we have fatigue from sheltering in place for several months now, but we're still in the middle of the COVID pandemic. Fortunate trend with numbers tracking up, and we can't forget that that's still going on and has to be accounted for. And, you know, it's probably going to impact all of us on our summer vacation plans. Then we have, you know, the economic issues going on, which I think we said we weren't going to talk about, but that's very real. And we don't know what those numbers, you know, pass the budget this month, you know, and think we have a handle on what the cuts are going to be. And depending on the news that comes out, you know, over the first half of the next fiscal year, for instance, those numbers could shift again. And so that's something that's ever present in the mind we have to be prepared for. And then finally, with the civil unrest across the country, which is kind of out of all 3 of those, the last month that's come to the forefront of our attention. I know that we worked nearly a straight month through weekends with virtually no time off when this, you know, from the end of May all through June, just managing those. And you know, so are we starting to settle up now, you know, where the protests, at least locally, seem to be still passionate, still loud, but peaceful. And now
that's probably okay, isn't it? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you almost want, you know, be true to the cause, share what your thoughts are, but keep it between the lines.
Exactly right. And so zero issue with that. But, you know, when you have stirrings, you know, or threats or plans potentially for violence that go beyond and cross that line from peaceful into something else that could become riotous, you still have to prepare. You know, you want to be caught unaware. You know,
sure.
We're not going to let our cities burn down. But at the same time, very much genuinely support, you know, our right to peaceably assemble, to protest. This is obviously a very important topic. And so, you know, these peaceful protests, we very much support and want to make sure in a position to ensure safety and let people, you know, air their grievances and have their voices heard. But we're also kind of reaching a place where, okay, well, we've been doing this for a month, 6 weeks plus. There'll probably be some, you know, many more across the country, but when does the action start? And that, you know, that's kind of the next stage of looking at, okay, well, where do we go from here now? And, you know, that's an important topic of conversation for agencies across this country, and that's no exception here locally. Well, what do we do now?
Do you spend a lot of time looking at historical stuff?
You know, I read a lot, and I certainly keep up with the news. And, yeah, I mean, I've been researching some of the history on these topics.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was 8, you were younger. What was it like in Eureka in the mid to late 60s with the Vietnam War protests and then with the civil rights stuff? Did Eureka participate in that, or was that something that was happening in other communities and really didn't have much impact here?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know from the perspective of the civil rights movement in the 60s. You know, in the 70s with the Vietnam War as well. I do know that before my time here, so I came in 2005, we obviously went through a series of demonstrations and protests over different things, including, I think, logging.
Right, yeah, Redwood Summer.
Yeah.
That's right. You're a newcomer, aren't you?
Yeah, born and raised in the county, but newcomer to law enforcement here in the sense of, well, I guess it's been almost 15 years now.
Yeah.
So not so newcomer. And right now, from the beginning, you know, over the last 6 months, it's made this feel like about 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it tough when they compress the education curve or the learning curve?
Yeah.
Yeah, not fun in many situations. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning, pre-recorded, with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Steve, with some of the different, the civil unrest concepts, they certainly have been all over the country and all over the West Coast. Do you have any concerns that you're looking at anything like what Seattle was dealing with, that there might be, I guess, the equivalent of a sit-in? I know they broke that up last week. But is that the kind of stuff, or are you just kind of more concerned about what some of the other communities have experienced if it ramps up higher?
You know, there's always a certain level of concern that things could escalate to, you know, an unsafe and an unhealthy for our community level. So I don't think in these times you can completely dismiss that. But let's also face it, Seattle is its own unique beast, so to speak. And you know, I wouldn't anticipate that level of issue coming here the same way, or too many other communities, quite frankly, which I don't think would tolerate. I think that would cross the line to what they, you know, Seattle essentially just abandoned a large section of their city, and then it just got worse. It escalated to where people were literally dying, you know, because of the lack of law and order, you know, in that that zone that they declared. And, you know, so Seattle's kind of crazy that way. Portland can be too, and there's some other cities across the country.
When you look at some of the new types of activities that some of these other communities are experiencing, is Eureka seeing a change in some of the trends? I know a couple months ago I asked you about that, and you'd said domestic violence was spiking. You didn't have the numbers at that point, but I think that has certainly been proven to be. Are you seeing other things that are going on in the area that are just a change?
Well, we ran some numbers through the first couple of months after you and I had the conversation. And I want to say domestic violence incidences went up about 50% during that period. I don't have the figures from there until now. So you know, I haven't been made aware of any new trends of a substantial nature. We're also kind of starting to come out the other side as things loosen up on this. You know, we got to be cautious about reopening, obviously, but we're in a different place today than we were a month ago with all this. So I would expect to see, you know, some hopefully positive changes as well. You know, we did have that homicide case that, you know, multiple stabbing victims as well that became a major focal point of the department up until we were able to identify and arrest the suspect. That's one of the events that, you know, has occurred since I think the last time we got together.
Is that more, and I know, you know, you can't get too close to the edge on it, but was that more of a, was that a frustration led? Was that a drug induced? I mean, what led up to it? Are there lessons that the community can learn from with that? Or was it just another sad situation?
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with the COVID-19 pandemic. I think this was a deeply flawed and disturbed and evil individual. Then there may be some mental health overtones as well that by no means would excuse or justify or be the sole source of his actions. But obviously he's been held incompetent to stand trial at this time. And so they're navigating through that. But I don't have any information or inclination to believe that the acts that he committed with three random stabbings, one of which resulted in a murder and two others in near deaths, had anything to do with current events. It was about that individual and their twisted agenda.
You also, there was a body found out in the Meridian between, what was it, I guess Indianola? It was kind of around where the cutoff was. Was that just somebody who happened to die and wasn't seen for a period of time?
I haven't seen the cause of death on that, but he was reported to the Eureka Police Department a week or so, maybe longer before, as a missing person. And don't quote me on this, but I believe there may have been a disability involved or perhaps a mental health issue. In terms of cause of death, I don't know. I have not got that information yet.
Now, you know that you're on the internet, so we don't have to quote you. You quote yourself.
Yeah.
Just a little shameless plug there for listening to it on the Kin's website, the talk show.
You're right. I quoted myself already.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now you can say highly placed sources if you want.
Exactly.
Geez. How do you think press relations are in this area? I mean, we certainly have a whole lot less than what we used to of formal, paid, professional news gatherers.
You know, I think we still have some amazingly talented members of the media locally. And, you know, I think overall, I certainly feel like we've had a positive relationship with the local media as a whole. And, you know, each aware of our boundaries, obviously, but at the same time, a constructive relationship. And we try certainly to be as transparent as we are able to be. And, you know, it's forthcoming with information as well because they have a job to do. And many of these are topics of great public interest.
Sure.
But you know, if you look, I mean, even the 15 years I've been here, it feels like certain segments of the media have been decimated. And we used to have two very robust competing newspapers here between the Eureka Reporter and the Times Standard.
Right.
The Reporter's gone. And then the Times Standard has been, they've laid off people, cut back services, outsourced services. And while I just think it's vital for a community like ours to have a daily newspaper, and the Times Standard is, I just hope it's able to persevere. You know, we need it, but they've been cut so deeply that to some people, at least, they feel like somewhat of a shell of their former glory, so to speak.
Right.
And that's the knock. They're doing the best with what they can do. But this is beyond the control of our members that work for the Times Standard here locally.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a local staff. Yeah, that's something different.
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
Hi, Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning, pre-recorded with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Steve, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the changing dynamics, and I guess with media, with news sources to the community involvement, all that kind of stuff. TV has taken a hit. Radio has taken a hit. Print has taken a hit. I mean, yeah, just the economic realities of our area have really kind of come into play with this. But now you've got this other thing that's out there, the citizen themselves that can perceive themselves as being media. That's a whole different play that's going on. How has that entered into the way that information is shared?
Well, I there's a couple points there. One is, just like you pointed out, we have seen some serious declines and losses in print media, you know, radio media, and some other more traditional avenues. The flip side of that is we've seen exponential growth in online media, you know, and entities like some of our local blogs and Lost Coast Outpost and all of that. And, you know, and so the information is almost instantaneous now, and you don't have to wait for the daily news cycle, and you have all this information right at your fingertips just by going to some of these sites that, but it's often a different kind of journalism, so to speak. In some cases, it's rehashing stories from elsewhere. Sometimes it is some original content, and that content can be very good also, but it's just a different dynamic. And so while we've seen losses, we've also seen the emergence of some new venues for news and information, and that can also be very positive in many ways. I wish they could all coexist, so we had an embarrassment of riches, so to speak, when it comes to news and information. But unfortunately, as some have grown, others have lost.
I would think, you know, to me, the biggest issue, and I guess this obviously I'm part of the media, but I've never perceived myself as part of the news media. The lack of vetting. You know, the instantaneous is great, but it also means that you're not double-checking facts, because the urgency of being first, it's not the urgency of being first correct. And I could see how that could cause all kinds of problems, or more difficult for you guys and gals, so that you don't respond as openly as you would otherwise, because who knows how it's going to be spun, twisted, played with, because it's individuals that might have personal agendas rather than the attempt to be neutral.
Well, I have been misquoted a few times. The ones that come to mind were not, there's nothing malicious. I think they were honest mistakes, and I've had some luck with going back and having that information corrected. You know, I'm certainly not going to name names, but there are some clear instances in my mind where local media sources, in the rush to be first, have put out absolutely incorrect and wrong, and in some cases, irresponsible information. And that is definitely an issue that I have a real problem with, and many people have a problem with. You can't sacrifice being first with being inaccurate. You know, on the other side, flip side of that, or another related issue, is because there's a need to get information out so quickly, and we have the vehicle to do that, sometimes, you know, you don't get a chance to get your narrative out in time or the correct information. And if they can't, you know, if you can't respond in an hour maybe, and it's a story that they feel that they need to get out there, they may just run with, there's a tendency sometimes to just run with what they have. and which is not the whole picture. And now you're playing catch up afterwards, trying to correct the narrative or at least give the community the whole picture and all the context that goes with the given incident.
Well, yeah, so the accuracy is sacrificed for speediness.
Right. It used to be, again, you had a 24-hour news cycle or so at least, and more time to get those statements, get those quotes. A lot of times we're dealing with situations where we don't have all the facts ourselves yet, and we're scrambling to try to verify facts because, we don't want to leave a void out there that gets filled by misinformation. At the same time, we don't want to rush to release information, as law enforcement officials, and have to retract later on because, we didn't have all the facts ourselves. And so that's a balancing act there.
Yeah, well, and I can remember back in the old days that there was a feeling of entitlement by certain media as well as certain individuals within the media that they took things personally and they thought the worst of a situation rather than waiting for it to play out. And if it took another 4 or 5 hours, then it took another 4 or 5 hours. Or if you missed the 6 o'clock news, you missed the 6 o'clock news, but the 11 o'clock had it. Okay, but it was accurate. I think that has been sacrificed at that altar of first. And that to me is as concerning as anything, because if you're getting the wrong information out, then people are basing decisions and actions off of wrong information. Now we're starting to spin out of control.
And something that tends to happen, you can watch this across the country, is once that first narrative is out, even if facts change, that first narrative has a tendency to remain in a strong point, and it becomes the truth in many people's minds. It becomes very difficult and sometimes impossible to walk back to what the whole story is. Going back to your previous question, I do feel fortunate. I'm just thinking back. I've been the PIO, Public Information Officer here at EPD. For much of my career here, and obviously as chief, I interact with the media a lot. And I do have to say, as a whole, with a very few notable exceptions, but as a whole, I felt that I've been able to communicate constructively with our local media and have real conversations. And we may not always agree, but at least a platform to be heard and my concerns considered. While at the same time, I've certainly worked to try to respect the job that they have to do and, the integrity of their journalism as well. And so it's not always that way. In some communities, there's often a very adversarial relationship, and I don't sense that here as a whole. And I think that is one area, even as we've seen some of these losses in some traditional platforms, that I think we're fortunate to have in Humboldt County. And that doesn't mean that any of the media is in the pocket of the cities or the chief of police, but absolutely not. They stick to what they feel is right. But just having that kind of open communication, I think, is really important, and it benefits the community.
He likes me. He really likes me.
Yes, I was just all about you. It was I was talking about you entirely.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We are back talking shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, as a police chief, what are you hearing from your other chief buddies along the West Coast? I got to think that each community is unique, but for county seats, for those in California, for those on the coast, there's got to be some commonality. Are you able to use any other community kind of as a bellwether of what to anticipate with today's climate or just historically?
Well, I'm a member of the California Chiefs of Police Association, the CPCA, and also are their Region 1 representative, so I'm a member of the Cal Chiefs Board. And we've had multiple meetings since all of this started earlier this year through these three major crises, by Zoom. But sometimes there's as many as a couple hundred chiefs on at one time. and as well as the board meetings we're having. So I'm getting insight and input from across the state. And there is some encouragement in that, because stress is definitely high and chiefs feel it as much as anyone. I mean, immense pressure and almost like a no mercy mindset out there right now in some ways. But so many of these men and women got into policing and into leadership positions at the beginning because if there's going to be a crisis, they'd rather be nowhere else. They may not want this crisis. You don't get to choose your challenges. Sometimes they find you, but they're standing strong. I think resiliency is a word I'm seeing across the country and certainly across the state, and I see it in Humboldt County. Just a determination to persevere through this and come out stronger together on the other side. And I think that's the silver lining in what we're going through right now, because there's certainly, it's just negative news all day long. I'm affected by it. I read it constantly. I wake up in the middle of the night and instantly one of these topics is in my head. I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking about this challenge, and it's different times. But we're all not alone, though it feels like it sometimes. And you know, EPD has seen a tremendous outpouring of support from our community every single day. They're bringing goodies, treats, snacks, drinks, non-alcoholic, by the way, cards.
BB to it. Okay, fine.
Yeah. You know, emails, letters of support through both of these crises, not only the COVID pandemic and its fallout, but even with the civil unrest across the country. And that community support has really been encouraging, even while we're also taking a lot of hits and a lot of negativity as well. Not surprisingly, much of that coming, I think, from outside the city, outside even Humboldt County at times. You know, people are just blanketing agencies with, you know, their thoughts, feelings, angers, form letters, and things like that. But that's also balanced by the support we're seeing. And I think through all this, we can find ways together to, you know, improve what we're doing and address some of these issues that clearly are still taking place in our country.
Well, no, that's that sounds like good stuff that we can talk about at the end of the next 4 weeks. Thanks, buddy. Hang in there.
See what happens when you get me talking.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why it's called Talk Shop. Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.